As a limousine driver, I meet too many different people and I talk to too many different people.
Inside the soaring mosque in the Roxbury neighborhood of Boston, El-Sir Sanusi tells stories about the people he meets on the job, like this one from a couple of months after the marathon bombings.
One day I have a Pakistani brother who's he's in the back of my car, he's a customer, so on. He talked, how the things goes after the marathon. He came from New Jersey, I remember, and I said, it's okay. He said, then did you experience any kind of racial profiling or anything? I said, no. I said, come on, man. That day when I heard the news, he's talking about himself, of course, he said, I start praying to Allah that it's not going to be a Muslim. Don't let it be a Muslim. So I said, why are you saying that? He said, because we had enough and I know it is going to happen. I said, we never experienced these things here. And I said, are you serious about it? No racial profiling in Boston? I said, no.
In this city that's certainly experienced its share of racial strife, Sanusi says his neighbors went out of their way to be kind. When his friend's wife was scared to go outside because she thought her headscarf would make her a target, a neighbor offered to take her shopping and even began picking up and dropping off her kids from school.
People were really committed to, like, the golden rule. Like, it was really powerful.
Su'ab Willem Webb is the imam at the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center, the largest mosque in New England. At first, he was really worried about what the bombing meant.
There's a concern of, was it any of our community members? Were they involved? If so, could we have been more preventive?
It turns out bombing suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev wasn't a congregant, but he occasionally attended a mosque in Cambridge that is affiliated with Webb's. Tsarnaev was reportedly thrown out after he stood up during services and shouted at the imam. Webb says he would have handled the situation differently.
If that was here, I would have met with him after the prayer, talked with him, tried to assess where his head is at.
Looking back, a year after the bombings, Webb says he's impressed with the way Boston handled itself.
At all levels, at a policy level, the lawmakers, law enforcement, citizens, institutions, it's a model.
The Council on American Islamic Relations monitors hate crimes against Muslims. The group's Ibrahim Hooper says there's been no significant increase in reports of harassment, assault, or damage to mosques since the marathon bombings.
Right after it occurred, we had two or three scattered reports of people being accosted in the streets, harassed, that kind of thing. But I wouldn't say it was by any means a widespread phenomenon.
In the media, there was some hostility towards Muslims. Commentators and activists who have spouted anti-Islamic views before took to Twitter and the airwaves. One example, on MSNBC, former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh of Illinois argued that in the wake of the bombing, law enforcement should racially profile young Muslim men as part of the immigration process.
We're at war, and this country got a stark reminder last week, again, that we're at war. And not only should we take a pause, Martin, when it comes to our immigration, we need to begin profiling who our enemy is in this war, young Muslim men.
But American Muslim leaders say overall, politicians and the media have behaved responsibly.
I think that we've learned a lot. We are not in a perfect place, but we definitely have learned a lot in the years since 9/11, so that by the time we've come to the Boston bombing, we are very much more sophisticated.
Farah Pandith was the representative to Muslim communities for the U.S. State Department. She's now at Harvard.
We are having conversations about hate speech. We're having conversations about discrimination and bigotry. We're having conversations about how we think about security in our country, all wrapped up in this sort of post-9/11 ecosystem.
Pandit says she also sees American Muslim communities trying to build relationships with other Americans instead of being insular. Yusufi Valley is the executive director of the Islamic Society of Boston. He credits those relationships for the decrease in prejudice.
This community for the last, 13 years, ever since 9/11, has opened its center, invited people in, actually went out to get to know our neighbors, get to know people from other faith, gotten to know political leaders. And off of those relationships that have been built, people have realized that, we're just one of them.
Valley says that what happened in Boston last year was a tragedy, but it also tested how much things had changed. I'm Sarah Birnbaum, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.